I am outstanding. We got something to talk about. Bring it up, brother.
You're outstanding. Yes, 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 yes. This comes from all the podcasts we do and conversations that we have. And I think about standards and expectations. And as we talk about clarity, and as we talk about things being clear, not vague and nebulous, I think sometimes standards and expectations also are not clear. Mm-hmm. And also what I really feel strongly about is expectations and standards are too unbelievably high that cannot be met. And what that does is it sets an expectation for the customer to receive something that your team may not be able to fulfill. And also you as the owner set an expectation so high because it's just really your ego and how you would do it, but somehow you want to get out of the field. So at some point you have to adjust, I'm not going to say lower, adjust your standard and expectations for a finished project or finished product because it's a bit subjective to the customer. And I know I'm a little over all over the place here, but I feel it strongly. There's some contractors just think that it has to be done exactly that way. And if it's not done that way, it's never going to get done. Therefore, you're going to have employee problems. You're going to have team member problems. And you're going to throw your team to the wolves when you walk away from that job and you've set an expectation or a standard of quality for that customer that's just unrealistic. So I really want people to think about that. If you want to grow your company and you want to grow your team, see what makes sense for the customer. And as long as it's up to code and it passes permits and it's safe and it's functional in every aspect, whether it's indoor, outdoor, I don't care what it is. As long as it works, quit beating your team up of unrealistic expectations.
This topic, and for the past almost 2 minutes, I'm listening to you and it's sparking so many emotions in me. Yeah. This expectations. Let me, his clarity, right? So I say to a homeowner, we're going to bring some boulders in here and we're going to put them over here. I could draw them a picture and we're all good with it. Sign contract. Then we're bringing rocks in that may be, I don't know, 300 pounds, 400 pounds rocks. They're large rocks. And she thought the rocks were going to be boulders. Like how much, this is a small pond. How big were these things? Were these like a billy goat? Boulders, right? It's stupid, right? But this is what she thought. It's like if I had said,
yes,
rocks that are ranging anywhere from 24 to 48 inches long, then that's clarity, right? That's but that particular person wanted to hear exactly what she was getting. And expectations. She expected one thing, she got delivered that. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. And I can say to myself, do I have a broken process where I'm not communicating that with a client? That's for me to figure out, right? That might be just one of the one-off of freaky things that happen. Standards, what you're willing to live with and what you are not. Example, if you're driving your people crazy, and I am one of those people, admittedly, I have standards of what I want to see. Now, there's a million, like they say, all roads lead to Rome. So what is Rome? What is that? If your Rome is get paid and move on to the next job, you have very low expectations, low standards. Just there's got to be something that happens before that, creating the client experience, processes, all these other things. And for me growing up, Derek, there was only one way to load a wheelbarrow. There's only one. There's only one way to hold the shovel. Only one. Why do we load the wheelbarrow to the front? Well, because I was
about to say, there is only one way. Load it in the front.
But is it possible? And you always got to ask yourself this question, Derek, as a person who's trying to evolve, like myself, is it possible that there's another way of doing it that would work?
Of course. Then it's just harder. It works.
You're fighting it. You're fighting me on this.
It'll work. It'll work.
Right.
Yeah, load it from the back. Good luck with that.
That's right. Because you know what? This is time on earth, what you just witnessed. I call it TOE, time on earth. You know that if you load a wheelbarrow to the back, to the handles, and it may not happen this time, but it's going to happen. Those freaking handles are going to break. Yeah. And then you're going to say, that's why you load it to the front. Because the wheel holds all the weight. And the other person could say, well, if you load it to the front, you're going to blow out a tire. Well, sure you will if you overload it.
Sure.
So is there more than one way of doing things? Yes. But if you call it out, this is what a beautiful water feature looks like. This is what a finished roof, a window, a home built, meeting and passing the trust with a customer to your crew, what it looks like, other check boxes to hit.
Check this out. I want to tell you about an opportunity to grow the shit out of your business to eight figures and beyond if you so desire. In October, I'm keynoting at the Contractor Summit in Jacksonville, Florida. And I want to invite you to join me and other kick-ass contractors as we guide you to automate your systems to give you more freedom and profits in your business. Who can use a little bit of that, right? Raise your damn hands. But what about building a world-class team that operates without you? What kind of freedom would that give you? And bandwidth would that create in your head so that you could work on bigger things in the business and fulfill your bigger vision? We're also going to dig into things like how to sell larger projects that don't put you in the poorhouse. My God, the number of contractors that take on a big job and end up going out of business because of that big job is staggering. There's far too many people that don't know how to make money on a big project. So guys, I want to invite you to join me. Hit the link, go to thecontractorfight.com/Florida-summit, and let's get better together. I'm out.
So as you can know, Derek, I mean, you talked for 2 minutes and I've talked about three on your 2 minutes because there's a lot.
That's why we're good at this. Yeah. That's why we're good at this. We, you and I bounce back and forth. We understand we've been in the trades for so long. We know where these little talking points go. And I want to kind of start wrapping this up because we only have a few more minutes on this. And this isn't one of those things we need to take a deep dive on. It's just, this is what it is. And this is what I've noticed after 27 years of business. When you're bringing someone in and you're clear on your mastery ladder, you're clear on your objectives, you're clear on, because you have to have standards. We just need to be careful of, are they unrealistic? And you have to have expectations, but are they unrealistic? And how to get around that is, as I see, it's like four tiers of why someone leaves a company. The top tier is they didn't feel they were allowed creativity. Everybody wants to be creative in our business, and really any business for that matter. They want to be creative within the office, possibly. They want to be creative within the field or whatever it is. They need creativity. That's what makes us feel alive. And then they need autonomy. They don't want to be micromanaged. They need to have clear objective to where to go, and then let me be creative within it, within the standards and the expectations you've set forth. Now I can have autonomy to move about. And then it's onus. They want to feel like they owned it. So you set the expectations and standards they need to meet, and they're realistic. And now I can be creative within it. And now I feel I have autonomy. So I have freedom. And then the onus comes in to go, hey, this is yours. Whatever these standards are we created, and maybe we've done it together, this is yours. And if they don't have those, they already have 1 foot out the door. And the last tier is money. It's not about the money. The money's on the front end. You came into this company knowing you're going to start at $20 an hour. And here's the mastery ladder that's laid out. And within this, if you can do these proficiently, and we're going to train you, you have a very clear vision. And then within that, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set a standard and expectation for you. And then I'm going to allow you to be creative. I'm going to give you autonomy. Now you have onus. Don't talk to me about money, because that's another conversation to come to me when you've done these things. So that's when I think about standard and expectations. We have to be clear on what that looks like, and they have to agree to it. And then we have to train them and allow them to be the artist. And then artistry, this is a thing I've learned, is artistry is subjective.
That's great. That's, you know, for you and I, in our world, totally get it, right? But there's guys who are building homes or driveways or epoxy floors or windows or solar or whatever else you do for your trade. It can't be, it's my way or the highway.
No, it doesn't. You can, but sometimes you got to go, huh, why do I not have a team? Why can I not build a team?
That's,
you got to look in the mirror.
That's it. That, you know, and that's painful what you just said. You got to look in the mirror, because chances are, if you don't have a team, it's not because everybody's lazy and they suck and nobody listens. It can't be. It's impossible that the whole world is, and you're right.
So I've built a level of trust with my company, my team, that they know they have autonomy and creativity and onus and what that looks like. And I let them move about. But we've created so much respect with one another that if they're doing something that just seems a little off and that we haven't done it before, or they know it's just a little, they're stepping outside of their mastery ladder, their rung on the ladder, they'll call and ask me, is this okay if I do that? So I appreciate that respect. And I also give them the respect when something's going on to go, hey, I'm thinking about making this change on the job. I know we've already set it up. Is it okay if I do that? So we have this mutual respect to communicate with one another so that I can still allow them to meet an expectation, a standard, and have creativity and onus and autonomy within all that. And I get for that from them too, because I get the okay.
Hey, look,
that's how you
continue. I got one question before we cut this, because this is going. You got this demeanor about you. It's calm, it's sugary sweet, you know, it's a Southern thing. It's like, right. Were you always as cool as a cucumber type of guy when shit went sideways?
Yeah. I'm the same person. To some degree, I think I need to speed it up a little bit, but you know what? I am who I am. And no, this is just me.
Yeah. I'd be like this a million miles an hour when things go sideways. Like, rah! He's like, yeah, it's to reel it back in and realize that it can't be perfect.
I can't think that way. So I truly just have to. And trust me, I have so much going on right now. One of the biggest things that I've got going on is all these jobs. It's just all the peripheral text communications with my family. My daughter's buying a new car and just my dog is ailing. And then we got family in, I've got a birthday coming up, and then I've got just customer questions and text. So I've got all these other things going on, but I just know if I just remain calm and I just go, okay, I can't do any more than I can do today. So there's going to be 10 points and I'm just going to check that one off, check that one off, check that one off. But what I do sometimes is I go, hey, I don't have time to talk about that right now. I appreciate your patience. I'll get with you tomorrow. But I have to show up tomorrow.
That's your own standard and your own expectation for you.
Yeah.
That's it. Simple.
That's it.
Set them up, guys.
Thank you, Tim. See ya.